So, this is the most auspicious occasion because we are gathered together today on the basis of Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is explained in this beautiful Bhagavad Gita that wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mysteries, wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be victory, extraordinary power, opulence, and morality. So, if you would like extraordinary power, opulence, victory, and morality, you've come to the right place. Because here, Arjuna and Krishna are present in this as it is presentation of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Today we will be from chapter 12. We will do a survey of chapter 12. First we will invoke auspiciousness with this very, very sacred mantra. Vandeha Shri Guru Shri Jata Balakama Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Saji Sadaitam Sadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita So beginning with text 1. Arjuna Bhasha Evan Satata Yukta Ye Bhakta Stram Karyupasate Ye Chapyaksharma Vyaktam Te Shankhe Yoga Vyaktama. Arjuna inquires, which you consider to be more perfect? Those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested? Shri Bhagavan Nubhasha Maya Vishya Mano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasate Shadhaya Paryayo Vetas The Supreme Personality of Godhead says, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. Ye tvaksharam nirdeshyam avyaktam prayabhasate sarvatra gamma chityam cha kutasam achalam dhruvam saniyam yandriya gramam sarvatra samabhuddaya te pratnavanti mameva sarvabhuta hitedata. But those who worship, who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons, engaged in the welfare of all, at last achieve me. Note the word at last. In other words, they don't ride away, do they? That's the slow road. Text 5. Klesho dikkarasastesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta higuter dhukam dehava viravapiyate. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. Yetu sarvani karmani mayi sanyasyamakara ananyanaiva yogena namyayanta upasate tesham aham samudhartha mrityu samsara sagara bhavani nachirat parta maya reshita chetasam. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, and always meditating on me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Prita, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So it's very clear the distinction that Krishna is making between those who are devotees, who are worshipping Krishna as a person, and those who are approaching the impersonal feature of the Absolute. There's a big difference. Text 8. Maye mamana adhatsva mayi buddhim naveshayam nava isishyashi mayeva atagirkam nasamshayaha. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always without a doubt. Atachittam samadhatam nasokshmashimayastiram avyasta yogena tato mammichaktam dhananjaya. My dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulated principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. Ibyate tasamarto si matkarma paramobhava madartam api karmani karvam siddham abhapshyasi. If you cannot practice the regulations of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me. Because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. Ahai tadabhya sakto si katam man yogam ashritaha sarva karma paratyagyam tatakuru yathatmavam. If, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness with me, then try to act giving up all results of your work and try to be self-situated. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasajvyanam jnanam vishishyate janat karma paratyagastat thagashchantiranantaram. If you cannot take to this practice, and engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind. Advaishta sarva bhutanam maitya karana evacha nirmamo nirahankara sammaduka sukakshami santushta satatam yogi yatatman nanishchayah mayarpita mano buddhir yoman bhakta samei priyah. One who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor, and is free from false ego, who was equal both in happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Well, here's a nice verse for any of us, and hopefully that's all of us, who would like to become dear to Krishna. Here's a list of what you can do to become very, very dear to Krishna. Don't be envious of anyone. Be a friend to everyone. Don't think that you own anything. Become free from the false ego of thinking, I'm the body, I'm the Lord, I'm the enjoyer. Be equal in happiness and distress. Be tolerant. Always be satisfied. That's quite a challenge. To always be satisfied, no matter what's happening, to be satisfied. Even if it's so-called bad thing. How do you be satisfied when something goes bad? Actually, there's a technique for doing that. When something goes bad, you think, well, I deserve much worse. But because I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, Krishna has minimized the reaction for my past sins. And whatever bad thing is coming, it is actually a blessing because it is burning off my past karma. I'm purging, becoming purged of my past sinful actions by something, you know, so-called bad thing happening. So in this way, a devotee can always be satisfied. When things are good, when they're bad, when they're beautiful, when they're ugly, he sees everything at the mercy of Krishna and he's always satisfied. Self-control, that means he always engages his service. His senses, I mean to say, in the service of Krishna, not in sense gratification. He's engaged in devotional service with determination. His mind and intelligence fixed on Krishna. So he's very, very dear to the Lord. Actually, you can boil it down to this very simple formula. If Krishna is dear to you, then you will be dear to Krishna. Insofar as Krishna is dear to you, to that extent, you will be dear to Krishna. But actually, Krishna multiplies it out of his mercy by 10. To whatever extent Krishna is dear to you, then Krishna multiplies it by 10 out of his mercy. And he finds that you are that dear to him. So we should always try to become more and more appreciative of Krishna. How beautiful he is, how powerful he is, how renowned he is, how famous he is, how wealthy he is, how knowledgeable he is, all the qualities of Krishna, the wonderful pastimes, the wonderful teachings, all the wonderful, wonderful aspects of Krishna. We should try to become more and more and more and more familiar with these wonderful aspects of Krishna. And the more we appreciate him, the more you appreciate us.
Yasman nam vijate loko lokan nam vijate chaya Asha marsha bhavad yoigair muktoya sachame priya.
He for whom no one is put into difficulty and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. So this is re-emphasizing the points in the previous verse. He's equipoised. He sees everything at the mercy of Krishna. He doesn't let anybody agitate his mind. He's not disturbed by anyone because he is completely humble. His mood is offering all respects to others without expecting any respect for himself. You see? And if someone is disrespectful to him, if someone is rude to him, he thinks, actually, it is not their fault. But they are simply the agent for me to suffer the reactions of my past misdeeds. He doesn't blame or hold a grudge against anyone who has treated him badly. But he simply sees that person as an agent of my own past karma. It's my own karma bouncing back on me. He just happened to be the delivery man. So he never holds a grudge against anyone. He always sees everything that bad that happens in him is his own fault, and everything good he sees is the mercy of Krishna and the mercy of Vaishnavas and the mercy of Gurus. So in this way he becomes very, very dear to Krishna. Text number 16. Ane paksha shuchir daksha udatino gata vyata
sarvarambha parityagi omad bhaksasya me priyah.
My devotee, who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. Note the word expert. Sometimes we hear this question from our members who are working jobs, and I think that's most of you, isn't it? They say, well, if I get too much into bhakti, then my performance at my job will suffer. If I become too much devoted, I won't be so aggressive and passionate at my job, and you know, I'll get fired. So I don't want to get into bhakti too much. You know, a little bit is okay, but I don't want to go overboard, so I lose my aggressive, passionate nature at work. But that doesn't match up with the Bhagavad Gita, you see. Because Arjuna became even more passionate and more expert to defeat the enemy on the battlefield after he surrendered to Krishna. And it's confirmed here, he was expert. A devotee doesn't become a material basket case. Actually, he becomes more expert at dealing with material energy than the karmic, actually, devotee. So don't be afraid, well, if I start chanting 16 rounds, I'll get fired from my job. No. If you become fixed up in sadhana, then you become expert in every aspect of your life. You become a very, very expert person. Text 17.
Yana hrishyati na deshti na sochati na kamshati shubha shubha paripyagi bhakti manyasa me priya.
One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. Of course, that doesn't talk about spiritually auspicious things. The devotee doesn't renounce them. Spiritually auspicious things, we become totally attached to them. The holy name, the spiritual master, the Vaishnava, the scriptures. These spiritually auspicious things, we never renounce them. We become more and more attached to them.
Sama shatro cha mitre cha tatamana pamanayo shitoshna sukha dukheshu samasanga vivarjita to yaninda stutir mauni santushto yena kenachit aniketastirir matir bhaktiman me priyo naraha.
One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoise in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me.
Ye tu dharma mritam nidam yatoktam vayabhasate shadadhana marupadama bhaktaste vivate priya.
Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. So this chapter 12 is a chapter of how to become dear to Krishna, because again and again he's saying, if you want to be dear to me, then this is what you should do. So if you want to make a New Year's resolution, which is very nice, this year I will try to become very, very dear to Krishna by following these wonderful directions given here in chapter 12. So one may ask, well, why do you want to become dear to Krishna? You see, in this material world, everyone is designed to become dear to someone. They want to become dear to their girlfriend or their boyfriend.
They may want to become dear to their boss so they get a raise. Or if they have no one else to become dear to, then they get one dog. And they take really nice care of the dog. They pet him, they feed him, they walk him. And then when they come home, the dog licks them on the face. And they feel very happy. My dog loves me so much, she's licking me on the face. But one devotee, he pointed out that actually, when in India, when they throw a dead carcass on the street, the first thing the dog eats is the nose. So when he's licking your nose, maybe he's seeing if you're still alive. So don't think that you're so dear to him exactly the way that you think that you're dear to him. So, if you really want to become dear to that person who is worth becoming dear to, that is Krishna. Because Krishna has the ability to reciprocate unlimitedly with our loving sentiments, with our loving service. That is the ability of Krishna. Any one of us in this world, our ability to reciprocate love is always limited because we're all selfish here. I'm thinking I'm the center of the universe. You're thinking you're the center of the universe. So our so-called love is simply a mutual, I'll scratch your back if you'll scratch my back sort of relationship. That is the so-called love of this material world. It's all based on what's in it for me, not what can I give to you. Therefore, we can never actually be satisfied in loving relationships here in this world. There was even one song written, it's called Love is a Four-Letter Word. Because somebody, the songwriter, had been so frustrated in trying to have loving relationships, he just said, you know, love is a four-letter word. Like a swear word, you see. But actually, if we come to the spiritual platform, in relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we can taste love which is pure, which is genuine, which is so sweet, unlimitedly nectarian thing. The more we get into developing our love for Krishna, the more we become happy. And the fringe benefit is that not only do you love Krishna, but because everything that exists is Krishna's energy. When you develop your love for Krishna, then automatically you are able to love all living entities. That's why it's stated elsewhere here in the Bhagavad Gita that everyone is very dear to a devotee, you see. And therefore, the devotee is dear to everyone. So one who becomes dear to Krishna, he actually becomes dear to all living beings. And this is confirmed. The six Goswamis, dhira dhira jana priyo priyo karo. They were very, very dear, even as described, to the dhira, the gentle, and the adhira, the ruffian. They were very, very much appreciated by everyone. Actually, Sanatana Goswami, he was very much appreciated. The householders would come. If they had some quarrel, just like sometimes husband and wife, you know, they fight. Clash, 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 you see. So, they would come to, if there was some quarrel between husband and wife, they would come to Sanatana Goswami. The wife would give her side of the story, the husband would give his side of the story, and then Sanatana Goswami, he would make judgment, and the husband and wife would both accept whatever judgment he made. If he said, well, you are right and she is wrong, then she would accept. Or if he said, she's right and you're wrong, then he would accept. In this way, Sanatana Goswami was very, very much appreciated by the people there, the villagers. So, the Vaishnava, you see, the one who is actually dear to Krishna, he naturally becomes dear to everyone because Krishna is in the heart of everyone. So, the more we become dear to Krishna, just like Prabhupada was so much appreciated, not just by the devotees, but by the general public. It's like Prabhupada came to the Los Angeles airport, and there was some black man there who was custodian, just cleaning the airport, you see. And he saw Prabhupada, and
This man had some piety. He was able to see an aura coming off of Prabhupada's body. He's the custodian. And he got so excited, he started yelling, "See that man? See that man? He's shining. He's shining." He just started, he got all excited. And he was, this is just an ordinary person, you see. So, because Prabhupada was completely, totally dear to Krishna, even an ordinary janitor at the airport would become completely amazed to see Prabhupada walking through the airport. You see. So, this is the natural sentiment. The more the devotee becomes immersed in loving God, then he naturally feels compassion for all living creatures. Because they see they are all the part and parcels of Krishna, they are all the children of Krishna. Now they are separated from their Lord, they are suffering in the cycle of birth and death. He becomes very, very dedicated to saving all of them and bringing them back to Krishna. So if someone is manifesting such loving feelings, genuine loving feeling for every living being, it's natural that people who have a little bit of sensitivity, they will pick up on that vibration of the pure devotee and they will appreciate him. So these qualities, if we would simply follow this process very nicely, we would chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. If we would follow the prescribed rules and regulations, no illicit sex life, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, if we will take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master and become a member of the family of the devotees, read Prabhupada's books, then we could be the same qualities. Each and every one of us can develop these qualities and we can make a revolution on this planet. Krishna consciousness movement is a spiritual revolution which is gradually going to take over the whole world. And we get to be here in the early days, seeing it just getting started here. It's a wonderful experience we're having now in 2008. See how this movement is taking more and more of a foothold on this planet. As more and more people are coming forward, just like today we had a wonderful ceremony upstairs, initiation, yajna. You see, more and more people now are coming forward to commit themselves solidly to Guru and Krishna, to follow this process as their life and soul. So this is happening all over the world. I'm traveling all over the world and we're seeing more and more people are coming forward to join this movement every day. The books are going out, the Shastra is being distributed, the holy name is being heard, and gradually more and more people are coming and are taking advantage of this wonderful opportunity to become very, very dear to the Lord. So I can ask now if there's any questions. It's all right. I know you're shy to ask it, but go ahead. Some of you are thinking you have a question, but you're a little shy to be the first one. It's okay. You can go ahead.
Well, I find it very difficult to stay in service because of my work. Huh. Because I don't have a chance to chant at work and just a day to it. I'm very disturbed. So,
how many hours a day do you work?
It varies. Eight.
So you're not able to chant at work?
No.
So what kind of work do you do?
I work at the airport.
In the airport?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll see you when I fly out.
When you come in.
Oh, when I come in.
You might.
All right, well, I'll look for you the next time I arrive in Melbourne. So at least we can say Hare Krishna to each other.
You
get a little chanting that way. But, actually, the key is that those times that you can chant, the free time, you're not at your job, if you will maximize your Krishna consciousness at those times, then you can, it's like charging your mobile phone, you see. You don't need to be plugged in. Your mobile phone will still work, even you can use it when you're plugged in. But if you charge it sufficiently, you can also use it when you're not plugged in, you see. So when you're at work, you're not directly plugged into chanting. But if you charge your battery sufficiently, you will still be connected, even when you're not charging your battery, because you got a really good charge. So the idea is, you charge your batteries, you know, at home or at the temple, before you go to work, get them supercharged, 16 good rounds, see? And then when you get to work, you'll just be humming, you know? You'll just be Hare Krishna, be vibrating in your heart the whole time. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So the idea is, get those spiritual batteries fully charged before you get out to the office. And then you'll be, when you go there, you won't see it as material energy. You'll see, actually, this is the energy of Krishna. This airport, Krishna is within every square inch of this airport, and every square inch of this airport is within Krishna. The more we become Krishna conscious, the more we see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. So in this way, you have to transcendentalize your vision. Premanjana charito bhakti valochanena. And now when you're at work, you go get a drink of water every now and then?
Yes.
Oh, very good. Well, that's an easy way to be Krishna conscious. Because Krishna says, Rato hum apsukam teyan. I am the taste of water. So every time you go to the water cooler, you get your water bottle out, you just think, ah, Krishna. Prabhupada told us that the first time I was with Srila Prabhupada. He says, every day you're drinking water. Once, twice, thrice, more than that. If every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. He said to become Krishna conscious is not a difficult job, it simply requires practice. So if you will do these things, chant good rounds, and whenever you go to that water cooler, remember, Krishna. Then you'll be on the right track. Then you'll make progress. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Yeah.
Prabhu, before you said becoming dear to Krishna is the topmost happiness, I just don't understand how that's not the what's in it for me mentality as well.
What is it?
Well, before you were saying becoming dear to Krishna is the topmost happiness, the way of achieving the topmost happiness.
That's the way you become, the more you become dear to Krishna, the more you become happy, that's it.
But isn't that a sort of way of thinking of how I can gain on becoming dear to Krishna, or what's in it for me?
Yes.
So how's it different?
That is, do you think Krishna consciousness is the process of suffering? Krishna consciousness means that you don't give up trying to be the enjoyer, you be intelligent about how to actually be the enjoyer. Actually, we never say that you're not allowed to be the enjoyer. We say use your intelligence to find out how to become how to enjoy unlimitedly by always thinking of giving pleasure to Krishna at every minute. That's the key. Some people ask me, they say, well, I'm chanting my japa, but I'm not getting any pleasure while I'm chanting. Why am I not getting any pleasure? And I said, because you're trying to take the pleasure. I tell them, try to chant Hare Krishna in such a way that Krishna will be pleased when he hears your chanting. If you chant like that, then you enjoy like anything. But we don't say it's wrong to be the enjoyer. We say it's wrong to try to enjoy independently. Simply try to always give pleasure to Krishna, and then your enjoyment will be absolutely phenomenal. Do you understand the point?
Which is the goal of enjoyment for us or enjoyment for Krishna?
What is the goal of?
What are we aiming for? The enjoyment for Krishna?
The ultimate aim is to become develop pure love for Krishna, pure prema bhakti, that is the ultimate goal. That I have no desire except to please Krishna at every minute, with every thought, with every word and every deed. No desire except to please Krishna. Even if he handles me roughly, even if he roughs me up and ignores me, that's all right. He's my worshipful Lord. I just want to please him with everything that I do, say, and think. That is the perfection, Krishna consciousness. So you're going to try for it? Very good. Okay, someone already got it in the queue ahead of you. Okay. I love Krishna very much, but how do I know that Krishna loves me? Well, first of all, Lord Chaitanya, who is the perfect example of pure love for Krishna, he said, I have no love for Krishna. And the proof is that I am still maintaining body and soul together. If I actually love Krishna, I would die immediately in his separation, being unable to tolerate his separation. Therefore, I have no love. The fact that I'm still living proves I do not love Krishna. So if we are thinking I love Krishna very much, it means we really don't know what love for Krishna means. Whose question is this? Yeah. It means you don't know what love for Krishna means. That's what it means. But how do I know that Krishna loves me? We know that Krishna loves us because he's doing everything for us. He's sacrificing everything for us. There are so many ways we can understand how much Krishna loves us. He is traveling with us as the Paramatma. Every single birth we go through, you see. How many... Just imagine if you had to go to prison for something. You did some horrible crime. You were convicted for 30 years in prison. Now, how many of your friends would come and sit in prison with you to keep you company? They would maybe come on visitor's day, to bring you some prasadam. But how many of them would come and live with you in the cell? But Krishna is doing that. That's part of Madhya. He is staying with us in each and every body we are going through. And is our constant companion. No matter how much we may neglect him, no matter how much we may criticize him, so many offenses we commit, Krishna, like a loving parent, he never gives up his love for us. So who could be more loving than Krishna? Now that you, I will give you the credit for loving Krishna. Because no one's paying you to practice Krishna consciousness. I give you the credit for this. That you are loving Krishna. I give you the credit.
I think I'm loving.
But as a matter of philosophical principle, we should not think that I love Krishna very much. I can see that you love Krishna, but you should not think that you love Krishna. That's the proper understanding. I give you all credit for loving Krishna very much. So you should never, you should think, when will that day be mine when I actually learn how to love Krishna? That vipralamba, that feeling of anguish that now I am separated from actually loving my Lord. When will that love come to my heart? When will that pure bhakti come to my heart? That hankering, that will actually enable you to enter into higher and higher levels of Krishna consciousness. So that's why I'm pointing it out to you, to help you move to higher levels.
Thank you.
Okay, you have a
How do we chant the way Krishna is pleased? How do we chant?
Hare Krishna?
Yeah, you said that chant such a way where Krishna is pleased.
Yes.
How is that?
We do have what are called the 10 namaparas. Are you familiar with those? What? The 10 offenses?
10 offenses? I can't remember all of them, but I've heard it.
You've seen those 10 offenses? Have you read in our Nectar Devotion the 10 offenses to the avoided?
Yes, but I can't remember.
Oh, okay. If you will study those 10 offenses, you have that book at home?
Yes.
Go home and look up the index, 10 offenses, and read that over very carefully. But then I'll give you a thumbnail version. One should chant like in a mood of completely depending on Krishna, just like you have your little child, and sometimes the child may hurt herself, may fall down, and she'll cry like anything because she's totally dependent on the parents to help her in her helpless condition as a small child. So that mood, that of total dependence on you that she expressed in her crying for you, see, that's how we should chant. That I'm totally dependent on Krishna. There's nothing in this material world which can ultimately save me and protect me. My only protection is Krishna. So we should call out in that mood of complete helplessness and total dependence on the Lord. And that will please Him very, very much. It's like when your child cries like that, don't you go running?
Yes.
Yes? Immediately you run. Oh, the child is in distress. What has happened? Immediately you run. So Krishna will also come running. If we cry in that mood of total dependence, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Questions more? Yes.
You mentioned that Krishna consciousness is going to spread throughout the world. Is that to say that at some stage the material creation is going to be redundant and that all the souls will be liberated at some stage in the future?
All souls will be liberated at some stage.
That actually is stated in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya by Srila Prabhupada, is the ultimate destiny of every single jiva to go back to home, back to God. Sooner or later, everyone will go back. This is an artificial position for us to be in the cycle of birth and death. We are naturally constituted to be residents of the spiritual world. That is our constitutional nature. This is an unhealthy condition. Sooner or later, by the mercy of Krishna and the mercy of Guru and the mercy of Vaishnavas, everyone will be back to Godhead. But there will be more people coming down for the first time to check out the alternate program. There's plan A and there's plan B. So we came down to check out plan B. Curiosity killed the cat. Now we're realizing it was a big mistake. We want to get back. There will always be others coming down here to try plan B for a while, for a few million lifetimes, until they get tired of it and want to go back. This is a small, insignificant fraction of the infinite number of living beings who are eternally serving the Lord in His transcendental leela in the spiritual sky. We're the minority down here. If they say that the modern day government is based on democracy, so we'll accept that principle if you let everybody throughout the totality of existence vote. Not just on this planet. If we can take the vote of everyone throughout the totality of existence, and then by democratic rule, then they'll have Vaishnava culture. But they're voting only within they want to take votes only within the prison, you see. They just want to take votes from all the inmates within the prison. So who will they vote for? Another prisoner. See, another conditioned soul. Prabhupada quoted that verse. Shvavidra Ushta Kadai Samsita Purishak Pushu Najata Karma Pato Peto Jatu Namagada Graja. He said those men who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses, they praise those men who do not listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. So Prabhupada explained in his lecture on that verse, he said when the animals, when the dogs, hogs, camels and asses go to vote, who will they vote for? Another pashu, another animal. So here everyone is voting for the dogs vote for a big dog and camels vote for a big camel. It's like in the U.S., the Republican Party, their mascot is the elephant. You see, in the Democrats, their mascot is the ass. So they vote for big asses and big elephants. Now, the elephant is a very big body and a very tiny brain. That's how they're able to capture him. They take one she-elephant and they train her to walk, go by the trap, so he goes into the trap and then they capture him. And so, We have time for one more quick question.
So you mentioned that when someone gives you a hard time, you should consider it as a sin, to be an agent who is cleaning up your reaction from
past. That's right.
So how do you actually judge whether he is being really bad or is being an agent?
Oh, no, they're really bad. They are really bad. That is confirmed. They are really mad. Because they are agents of your past karma doesn't mean that they're not engaged in sinful activities and acting in irreligious ways. No, they are. Just because they're agents of your own karma, just because they act as agents of somebody else's karma doesn't mean that they don't get the karma of what they're doing. Just like someone eats a cow, actually that cow ate them in a previous lifetime and now they're getting him back. That doesn't mean they don't have to suffer the reaction. It's like one reaction leads to another reaction. Everybody's totally caught up in action, reaction. The only way out is by the mercy of the pure devotee. Because then he engages in devotional service and pulls you out of karma chakra. So I was told to stop at 6. So it's now 6 o'clock. If anybody has any further questions, I'll be out in the courtyard. You can meet with me out there. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.